Obviously, I'm the one teaching because I'm the one wearing a suit and tie, so. Today, it's going to be a continuation of what I taught last time I taught on Sunday morning. And so some of the people who were around here or who listened to it on the internet would know what I taught about. I taught about the Holy Spirit last time. And I thought the last one was more of an encouragement. You knew a lot of what I was talking about, but you might not have known some key facts of what the Holy Spirit might have done. The first part of today will be just, you know, refreshing your memory of all the things that He does for us, the key points. Why He's really around is one of the biggest things we'll be talking about today. In the recap, what I taught about last Sunday, last time I was up, was the biggest part of that was that if you ever see the Holy Spirit in action, He's always glorifying Jesus Christ, okay? And that's why a lot of people in the church we're at, you know, like a non-Pentecostal church, we're not speaking in tongues a lot, right? Mostly because if you're not speaking in tongues, then it's not, and there's not an interpreter, it's not right. So, and nothing against the Pentecostals who, you know, say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, because they are. We're all believers and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But, when he has people speak in tongues, whenever we praise Jesus, and we praise God through our singing, through our prayer in unity, we're always around the body of Christ. We're always doing it because of Christ. We're joining because of Jesus. And so that's the biggest reason why He's around, is to glorify the Lord, right? But let me just recap, and then I'll get into really the new stuff that I wanted to talk to you guys today about, and I'll explain where all this came from, and my wife kind of helped me come up with this idea in the middle of the night. But we'll get right to that later. Let's just recap what I did last time. If you could turn to Jude 1:20. I'll be popping there soon. But the first time that you even see the Holy Spirit, a lot of people don't even realize it's Him. They just read right past it. And it's the very first two verses of the Bible, Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was dark on the face, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. This is the Holy Spirit. We see that there's God in the first part of the verse. And for people who aren't Trinitarians, they think, okay, that's our God. For those who are Trinitarians, we don't know. I seem to think that's talking about the Father. But even if we just say that's our one God, right? Then the first part of the Trinity that we see in the Bible, period, is the Holy Spirit, and He's there, the beginning of creation. And that's another thing that I was talking about last time I was up, is that we need to recognize that He is God. Okay, a lot of times. My dad will punch me in the arm and do it to me too. I offer all you guys to do it to me too, and I will do it to you. If you say, you know, you talk about the Holy Spirit and you say it, He's not an it, okay? And I used to do that a lot because we don't talk about Him much. We don't see Him much. Now, granted, we use Him more than the Father or the Son. But that's why that's one of His biggest traits. We're not supposed to be looking towards Him as much. Because whenever we focus on Him, His focus is on, the second person, which is the Father, which is, Jesus. And so, most of the time, whenever we see His actions, it's going straight to Christ. And so we don't see Him much, but we should never talk about Him as an it. Because it's not an it. The stuff that He does, you might consider as an it. But He himself, he's part of the Trinity. He's part of our one God, and so we need to respect him as that. So he's firstly mentioned, and that first part of the Trinity that you see in the Bible is Genesis 1. The second part is that he's a helper. He helps us in so many ways. He helps us with the body, right? He helps us to glorify Christ once again. In Jude 1:20, I've got to turn there. This is another reason on how he helps us. And this, I think, is a really big key part of another big thing of what he does, because it shows an attribute of him. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So first we start with faith. Faith has to be the foundation of anything that the Spirit's going to give us. Praying in the Holy Spirit. This is a key thing because everyone here is a believer. And so everyone here can understand what I'm saying. But whenever we pray, that's through the Holy Spirit. Now, we end almost every time with in Jesus' name. That's just a common thing to do. And I think that's one of the best things to do, too, because when we pray, we're praying to the Father, okay? So that's the first part of the Trinity. We're believers, so first of all, we can do that as it is, because if you're an unbeliever, you can pray, but it's just a loss of words. God's not answering those prayers. So whenever we pray through the Holy Spirit, because we're given the Holy Spirit to do that. So those who have the Holy Spirit can pray through Him. So we pray through the Holy Spirit, and then at the end, we say, in Jesus' name, and that's by the Son. And then we're praying to the Father. So you have the whole Trinity in just a form of prayer and talking to God. Jesus came as the mediator between God and men. We can't, that's just like an unbeliever. When you were an unbeliever, you couldn't pray. If you said, you know, help me in this thing right now. I don't know if you're out there. You know all the skits and all the movies that have, you know, I'm down in my dumps and now I'm going to pray to God. Well, God's not answering those prayers because you're not one of His chosen. You're not the one that He gave the Holy Spirit to say, now you have communication with me. And not only that, if we just forget about the Holy Spirit for one aspect, God, the Father is saying, you haven't even recognized that there's my Son who died for your sins down there. And so, if you don't recognize that, then I'm not even going to give you the important thing, the phone line to me, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so, we as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, and that's how we pray to the Father, but only by the Son, because the Son, once we accept Him as Lord, then we are given the Holy Spirit. So that's, once again, the Holy Spirit will work, but you have to accept the Son first. Everything is glorified through Him. He's also a helper in Luke 12:12. And it says, Christ talking. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. This is talking about the end times and the persecution that we might go through. And Jesus is saying, when you come to that time, and when you are persecuted, don't worry like, oh, they're tempting me with, you know, a gun to my head or a gun to my wife's head or they're saying they're going to, I don't know, any torture that they might do to me, my family, something that I don't want to happen. And then they say, deny Christ, okay? Jesus is saying, don't worry about that time. Because that time period, you have the Holy Spirit, and He will work through you, and He will give you what you need to say. He will give you the strength at the end of days to fight back somewhat. Also in Mark 13:11. This is also talking about the end times, and Christ is talking to his disciples. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not of you who speak, but of the Holy Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit is giving you, helping you in the end times whenever you're persecuted, whenever there's times when you're going through struggle, and this is mostly talking about the end times, but He gives you grace, He gives you mercy, He gives you a jolt of faith in any time that you feel like you're persecuted or you need His help. But this is talking about the end times. Once again, He's our helper, so He's God to start, He's our helper, and He's our helper in the end times, He's a helper whenever we communicate with God. And then the stuff that we do know about the Holy Spirit, such as the gifts that we have, whether the gift of faith, gift of helps, gift of giving, being a servant, all these things, He gives that too. And then also being a helper too is the body of Christ. He helps us all communicate and be edified and glorify Christ together. Because once again, He is in all of us, so of course He can, join Himself together, right? He's in every one of us, and He can join our everyone together because of the power that He gives. Whenever Christ, at the very end of His time being on the earth, He starts saying stuff like, "I'm going to die. Don't worry," and some of them understood, some of them didn't. But when He left, okay, Acts was full of the accounts of how the Spirit just fell on people and in abundant amount, and was, the church was built with the Holy Spirit. Once again, I don't want to take away, because He doesn't, the fact that Christ is the mediator. Christ is the reason we can have the Holy Spirit. So those people believed that Jesus died for their sins, God, man, and rose from the dead as Messiah. But as soon as they believed, they were doused with, a bucket full of the Holy Spirit, and tons were believed. And the church, that's how the church started. So we as a church started by the Holy Spirit as well. In Acts 7, you don't have to turn to it, but Stephen, he's being stoned, right? He's our first martyr that we consider. He's being stoned for the name of Christ. He's in the Holy Spirit as he's getting stoned. He's on the ground. They're throwing boulders at him. He's getting beat. He's on the point of death, okay? And it says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the heavens open, and he says, "I see the Son of Man sitting next to the Father in glory." Once again, he knows he has the Holy Spirit. We're reading that it's in the Holy Spirit, but he's not thinking, "The Holy Spirit is great in this." He's thinking, "Look at Christ." And the Holy Spirit is using him to actually see Christ. Everything is to glorify Christ that the Holy Spirit does. In John 7, Jesus is actually saying, okay, things are going to happen down the road, and I want you guys to be prepared. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, you don't have it yet, because I haven't been glorified yet. Jesus, this was like in the mid-time of his ministry, and he's saying, there's things that's going to happen, that's going to come to an end. I'm going to be dying. I'm going to rise from the dead. But before that, you guys don't have the Holy Spirit, because I haven't been glorified yet. This is all a fact of where I need to be glorified. Jesus is talking. The Son needs to be glorified. You need to recognize me as God, that I died for your sins. And once you do, and once I'm glorified, then you will have the Holy Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit is only given to believers, and His major work is to glorify the Son. And so That's mostly a recap of what I did last time. And this, if you guys don't know, the whole the study, right? Study of theology is studying God, okay? Christology, Dad talks about tons. Studying Christ, okay? Pneumatology is studying the Holy Spirit. And there are tons of things that I have read, and a lot of them can't be, you can't nail them down, if that's true. But the study of pneumatology can be a lot spotty because, once again, he doesn't portray himself. He doesn't say, look at me, okay? He says, look at Christ. And that's the most important thing that we need to realize as we go on further. Because I'm going to be mentioning Jesus. But, as we go on, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and what He does to glorify Christ in us. Okay? The major thing that I'm going to talk about today is the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that's been on my mind for a while now. I'll wait till the end to tell you where I got this from. But if you go to Acts 10:38, okay, this is Peter talking. And in 38, he's talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he's given the gospel, with the Holy Spirit and with power, okay, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, Jesus acted as a man. He had to act as a man on earth, because if he didn't act as a man and acted as God, then he couldn't have died as a perfect man, because we don't have any God in us other than the Holy Spirit. But if he's God that came to be man, and then in down here he says, you know, boom, and he acts in God, okay? Which, if I was that, I'd probably disintegrate a lot of the Pharisees. But he can't act as God because of the fact where then I'm not acting as all man. So I have to act in complete man. And as man, we have to have the Holy Spirit, okay? So saying that, as I go, everything that I'm talking about, everyone here can do. There's nothing that I'm going to explain or I'm going to talk about after this point that you guys cannot do. The Holy Spirit is in every one of you. And so every one of you have the power, which I'm talking about today, that the Holy Spirit gives. Because we have it in us, and He gives it. Now, there are certain stipulations with some things. But what I'm saying is you have the capability because the Holy Spirit can give you that capability. So any healing that Jesus did, any healing of the blind, any healing of the sick, raising from the dead, that was mostly his own. Elijah did that, but there's not many people who raised from the dead. But that was all done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit used Jesus, which you hate saying that, right? Because he's God. But you have to consider him as a man in this aspect. Everything that he did on earth as a man, he had to do through the Holy Spirit. So walking on water, that was through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him the power to walk on water. We see that too, because Peter walked on water too. He had the Holy Spirit too. This is after Jesus was glorified. So after he was glorified, he came back. And he gave them the Holy Spirit. So, in Acts 1:8, sorry, I went back on you. I was going to start on this one. This is whenever the church is starting. Start at 7. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We are, you know, as Lord Jesus Christ Assembly, we are the end of the earth to them. They didn't know about America. They didn't know about this side of the globe. We're the ends of the earth. And we are supposed to spread the good news. But once again, what's it say here? He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will witness of me." Of me is what the Holy Spirit does on a constant basis. You are given the Holy Spirit, and when you're given the Holy Spirit, you're given the power of the Holy Spirit to do great things. When we think of power, mostly we think of like superheroes and stuff like that. And, you know, Spider-Man, he got bit by the radioactive spider, but he had the power of a spider, right? Superman, he gets energized by the sun, and now he's this superhuman who has phenomenal power, okay? Power is something that is given to you, and then once it's given, you are above and beyond what is normal, okay? We aren't the normal people. We are set aside from the world, and as we are set aside, they don't know about the power that we do have, okay? Now, if we were doing power like Jesus did, then people would be thinking, that church has some Supermans and Spidermans in them. But we don't have that type of... God doesn't give us that power because God doesn't want us to, you know, leap buildings at a single bound. But He does want us to, in faith and by His Son, He wants us to use the power that the Holy Spirit has given us to glorify His name. Because once again, we know that whenever we get the Holy Spirit, that it's not by us, because we know where we were beforehand. And we know the people that are out of these walls. We know that they don't have this type of power. And we do. And so this is a power that, back during Pentecostal times, and when the church first started, I'm sure the disciples might have been tempted to use the power in a wrong way. But the power that we're given through the Holy Spirit is a power that is only to glorify the Son. If you turn to Romans 15:18, Romans 15:18-19, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit." What I'm trying to drive through to you guys is that this isn't a normal thing, okay? We have the Holy Spirit, and at times we take that for granted. Once again, because we don't think about Him as much, we think about the Son. But this is something that is very odd, right? It's something that's unnatural, okay? Any power that I was talking about through superheroes or anything, right? That's unnatural. They didn't get that naturally, okay? And we don't get this naturally either. This is a supernatural thing that happens to every one of us, okay? It's not just the people that are, you know, that are on a pedestal that know they have the power to do this and use it, okay? I'm not going to knock this person whatsoever. I don't know anything about him. I think he's a believer, but... Benny Hinn, okay? Benny Hinn would go, and then everyone would fall down. and he'd have a line going out the door, and he'd go, bang, 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 bang. And everyone would just fall like dominoes, okay? Let's just say, hypothetically, that he is using the Holy Spirit, okay? We know of Benny Hinn because of what he does through the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, he says, in the glory of God, in the glory of the Son, in the glory of the Son, it just keeps on, boom, 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 boom. That's something where I personally think, if I'm going to put this on TV, and I'm going to, I'm going to sell my CDs and my DVDs of me hitting people in the head, then that's abusing the Holy Spirit to me, okay? I'm not saying he's abusing the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's in full mindset of that's what I'm called to do. But my major point about talking about him is that he knows there's power in the Holy Spirit, okay? This isn't something that unbelievers know. They don't know this. They think we're weird, okay? They think we're odd because we talk about Jesus a lot. When I was a kid, and I used to listen to DC Talk. Jesus Freak was one of their best well-known songs. And I loved it because that's what we are, okay? We're freaks to the world about Jesus. So we're not part of this, and that's how come they don't know. They think we're odd because of the things that the Holy Spirit gives us to do for Christ. And that's what I wanted to drive home to you, is that this isn't just a common thing that we have as the body of Christ. This isn't a common thing that, yeah, we can pray, that's great, you know, and we can sing, that's great, and we're unified, and thank you, Holy Spirit. This is something more, a little bit more powerful than that, too. Because that's powerful in itself, because unbelievers can't talk to God. But when I'm telling you, and I'm confident in everything I'm saying, that there's not a person here who's saved that if they had faith and God wanted them to do it, could do half the things that Jesus did. Because of the Holy Spirit. Because we have Him. And He is, to me, He's the essence of power. Okay? I keep on talking about Him as the power of God. In Acts, again, there's a sorcerer. So he was on the other side, right? He's using demons. He's using spirits. He's using the dark magic, right? He's on this side. And he gets saved, okay? He was a sorcerer. So he had power and he knew what it looked like. He was using power for his money. So that was his job, okay? And the demons were, sure, why not use us as much as you want? And he was making money off of it, okay? Simon got saved when he saw Paul healing people with the Holy Spirit, okay? He got saved. He did get saved. But then he realized that this is power that he hasn't had before, right? This is a different power. The power that he had before was that of demons. And in all honesty, they can't do anything that God doesn't allow. So he has a power over here that he's making money with and that he's using so that to get what he wants. But he doesn't know that this is kind of a controlled power because God doesn't want him to do certain things. Okay? He gets saved, boom. Paul gets him saved. He's a brother now. We will see him in heaven. But why I give you this is because he's on our side now. He sees Paul and he sees the apostles healing people and of things that, wow, how do you do that? And so he realizes his old times and he says, I had power, but it wasn't like this. And then he goes to Paul, and it actually might have been Peter, now that I think about it. And he says, give me some of this power. And Peter knew why he's saying this, because he just came from money. He just came from using his own power that he thought was his own to get his own livelihood. And now he gets saved, and he comes to the apostles and says, "I need this. Give me this power, you know, so I can heal people too." And Peter knew where he's coming from, and he says, "You know, curse you and your thoughts of why you want to use the Holy Spirit for material gain." Okay? Because once again, the Holy Spirit is used in an aspect where we use it for the body and for other people to see what Christ has done for us. Everything is like that. But he doesn't want to use it that way. He sees this unnatural power and he knows he had an unnatural power too. And now he's on our side, and he sees a more unnatural power that he couldn't do beforehand because God wasn't allowing him. And he sees these people, you know, "Oh, these are my new friends, and they got power too. Give me this power as well." And Peter's like, "No, you're not going to use the Holy Spirit as money gain, because that's not what it's for." And so he was humbled, and you know, I'm positive that after a while, it doesn't mention it, but I'm sure he realized his wrong. But that's the power I'm talking about. That it's so much different than what normal people are used to. Normal people know of what Jesus did. And so that's why they say, "Oh, he's a good guy," or, you know, or "he was a prophet." But there's so much more to this power that we are given, and that Christ was given too. If you can, this next thing, I've talked to my dad, he's never said no. And so, I'm trying to really study this part, but walk through with me and see what you think as well. This is my hypothesis, this next point, and I really do believe this is what happens. If you could turn to Job 26:7. Seven through the end of the chapter, mostly. He stretched out he's talking about God. He stretched out the north over empty space. He hung the earth on nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds. Yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his cloud over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters, at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and on his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent, which is a constellation. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand it? This is the power of God through creation, okay? All the things that he does that is just finger work to him is the power that we see through God. And this is the power that we understand. It's not through us. We can't do this. But this is the power that he has done, and it's just like, you know, doodling, Jesus did on the ground at the men's conference that I was talking about, or Rick was talking about. This is the power that we have inside us. Now, I agree, we can't make creation, okay? But this same power that made creation, we have. Job 34, 13 through 15. Now, this is Elihu, the fourth friend of Job, who is correct in everything he says. He's talking, and he's also talking about God. Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole earth? If he would set his heart on it, if he would gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. One more thing, and I'll give you my hypothesis. Psalms 104, 29 and 30. This is obviously David in Psalms. He's talking about God. 104, 29 through 30. You hide your face, and they are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit. They are created. And you renew the face of the earth. Okay? This is my hypothesis. And I truly believe this. There's nothing in the Bible that proves this wrong. Okay? So that's why I'm really turning to this. But my theory is that without the Holy Spirit, life as we know it, plants, animals, humans, the globe turning, all creation that moves and runs and, you know, runs like clockwork. No planets run into each other even though their orbits cross. Okay? My hypothesis is that the power of the Holy Spirit sustains that on and on. Okay? And why I say that is because in both of these verses, they're talking about the Father is giving the Holy Spirit in creation, right? And we see Him hovering over the waters at the beginning. So we know that He was there, and we know that God created heaven. We know that God did creation. And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it says these things. And it says that whenever you send it out, you create, okay? But in both Job and Psalms, it said, if you take it away, all life would wither. The power of the Holy Spirit, I truly believe, is so powerful that without it, we could not sustain life. This is something to me, it's like, wow, that if you could just think about the things that we do on a regular basis, the things that we know, just plants popping up out of the ground, grass, animals just move without thinking, the astronomy and all of its wonder. Okay? The things we don't know that is still going on. Even the little things, the microcosms, the atoms, the amoebas, all these things. Okay? If you just take this thought in and really chew it, and I do want you to do this because I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. If the Holy Spirit if His power were not to be in us, would that stuff continue? Because those things were made by His power. So if you take that power away, how do they breathe? How do they live? How do they continue? You know, these two verses right here are mostly why I say that, because it keeps on saying if you take it away, all life will wither. If you take away the breath, Adam, our great 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 thousand million great grandfather, okay, He started by the breath of life. God breathed into him power and life, okay? If that power wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. His siblings would not continue, you know? That's my hypothesis, and that's what I'm really chewing on. I want to study that more. But there's nothing in the Bible that says that's not true. Okay? Mostly because the power that we have through the Holy Spirit, and the power that the Holy Spirit just plain is, and the power that God gives and wills on people, that power is something big. And we have just a tiny piece of it. The things that we can do through Him are very small compared to creation, compared to the microcosms that life runs off of, okay? Our own body has so many millions and billions and trillions of little things in it that make us up, that I believe the Holy Spirit sustains and keeps pumping. Okay? Now, granted, I'm not saying that it's one of those things that, it's not something like the evolution, where they say, God made everything, but then He stepped back for millions of years and just watched it happen. Okay? I'm not saying that that happened. What I am saying is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, God rests on the seventh, and that power was used that all that time. Okay? After that point, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters, that's right. He's around. He's in us. So we are sustained by Him. We keep going. When we feel weak, when we feel like we can't do it anymore, how do we get the strength, okay? I'm not going against the Son or the Father at all. But they've both given us the Holy Spirit to sustain us, to keep us going. And so that part, aside from the power, that part is my idea. But I really do believe that, mostly because these two verses are saying, you know, take it away and they die. God the Father can take the Holy Spirit away from people. Okay, now I believe this is only in the Old Testament, because once we have the Holy Spirit, we're never going to leave His hand. Right, we're eternally with Him, and so. This is only in the Old Testament, but this is just the power that the Holy Spirit was used at. In the Old Testament, you see, what did I see? Over 100 times, okay? Over 100, and that means I didn't even count them all. Over 100 times the Holy Spirit is used in the Old Testament. And you guys, and most people don't see that because it doesn't really say Holy Spirit. And you don't hear Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit that is given, okay? But so many people have been doused with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Let's go to some of them. In Psalms 51:11, remember this whole thing is about His power, the power of God that He gives to us. This is Psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, so this is, he's humbling himself, right? And he knows all the things that God can do to him for punishment, a big godly spanking, right? And so, we know of what he knows all the things that could happen to him. One, because he just got out of death, because Nathan said, you're going to die because of this. And then he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, okay, now you're not going to die. Okay? But God knows, David knows the punishment that can come. And he says in verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David knew he had the Holy Spirit, and he knew that back then, there wasn't a thing like, Jesus died for our sins, you believe in Him forever, you're saved. Okay? So beforehand, before Christ came to the earth, he's thinking, there's so many things that God could do to me because I've sinned against Him. And he's praying to God and says, don't leave me and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because, once again, if you guys didn't have the Holy Spirit, okay, just thinking hypothetically, think of how sad, how what joy you wouldn't have anymore. The power that is given to push you, to keep you going, right? The strength that keeps you going, you wouldn't have that. And so David knows the strength that he's given to keep on going, to live God's way, and he's asking God, please don't take this from me. And he knows about what happened beforehand, and I'll show you. Go to 1 Samuel 16. This is where David knows why this can happen. And, oh, please, God, don't let this happen to me. 1 Samuel 16:11. This is Samuel trying to anoint. He's going to David's father, Jesse. And Jesse brings out all of his best sons physically. And the Holy Spirit, once again, is talking to Samuel, saying, "It's none of these guys. Ask for another one." And so, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of the young men here?" And he said, "There is remaining yet one youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came down on David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Okay? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, who was king at the time, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Okay, so this, David knows what's going on, okay? David is anointed as king. And David feels, I don't know, I've never felt the Holy Spirit be anointed on me, but then again, I was six when I was saved. But David could have realized, okay, this is a holy place to be at, okay? And so he's anointed with the Holy Spirit. It says that right there, okay? From that point on, he has the power to do a lot of things, okay? Just like we do. But then he says later, and this is how we know, and later on in Psalms, whenever Saul's all dead, all of his kids are dead, his whole family is gone, and he's just remembering back after he's sinned and says, "Oh, I remember Saul. I remember Saul. What happened to Saul? You took the Holy Spirit away from Saul. Please don't do that from me." Okay? In 1 Samuel 19, we'll somewhat continue this with Saul. 22-24. Now, this whole time, Saul is living in this distressing spirit that the Lord has allowed to be put on him. And so the whole time he's living in this, he's hating David. He can't stand him around. He actually tried to kill him two or three times by throwing a spear at him. As David, who's in the Holy Spirit, is sitting down there trying to soothe and try to comfort Saul. Okay? So, I don't know about you guys, but if someone's trying to do something nice to me because I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to kill him. You know? I want them to stay here. Saul is in such a bad attitude because of this distressing spirit that God sent on him, that he hates David, and he's throwing spears at him a couple times to try to kill him. So this is going on, and then we pop in at 22:24. It says, "Then he also, Saul, went to Ramah, and came to the great well that is in Succoth. And so he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed they are in Naoth in Ramah. So he went there to Naoth and Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him." So God allowed him to have the Holy Spirit back after he took it away. Spirit of God came upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in the like manner, and lay down naked in all the day and all that night. Therefore, they said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Saul had so much Holy Spirit doused on him in less than a day, I guess, to the point where people were seeing him and they're like, "Is he a prophet? The things he's doing is the stuff that the Holy Spirit does through prophets." Saul, I guess you could consider him as a small prophet, right? He did prophesy for a whole day. Granted, he was naked. But he prophesied for a whole day. And I do believe he was naked, One, because he's just, there's nothing that I care about more than praising God. And so, and Samuel's here, he's a prophet, David's here, and what I forgot to tell you is, in this, this time, he was sending people, he was sending, messengers to find David, okay? And he sent three groups of messengers, and every group of messengers, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they prophesied. And then Saul's like, what's going on? Why aren't they coming back? Hey guys, go and get David. This is the second group. Holy Spirit falls on them, they prophesy. And I think it happens a third time, and he just gets ticked off, and he says, fine, I'll do it myself. And he goes, tries to find David, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to keep on prophesying, and you're probably going to look worse than those guys, because I'm going to strip you naked in doing so, and boom, you're going to prophesy too. So this is something that I agree is only in the Old Testament, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't jump off and on people. One, because the Father doesn't do that anymore, because we've accepted the Son. But there was no the Son back then on the earth. So they didn't know about that. They knew of God, Yahweh, and they knew some power that Yahweh gives, okay? And then at times they see an angel, or they think is an angel, and is really the Son. But they think he's just one, he's God. They don't know the Trinity, is what I'm saying. And so, back then, the Holy Spirit was put on and put off. And putting on you, and you're going to do my will, and now I'm going to take it off. Okay, prophets. Every time you see a prophecy, every single time you see a prophecy, it's done by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's got to be hundreds. Okay? The whole Old Testament is practically prophets. The whole Testament is written by prophets, and they're prophesying. And so, since they're prophesying, they're doing it through the Holy Spirit. Okay, when the Bible itself was written by humans, empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is the power that we have, people. This is the power that we possess. We have this. Okay, I'll be nailing that point later. Other people can see his power as well, and we see it in tons in Judges. Turn to Judges 13. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And we all know about the great and mighty works that Samson has done. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him in Manana, Dan, between Zoar and Eshtalol. So we know everything that Samuel did, and that's right there is the type of stuff that I'm talking about beforehand. That we don't see, we don't use, but that's something like a superhero, okay? That's something like the real live Superman. This is the power that God Almighty, who created the world, gave to one man and said, I want you to show my power in you so much that you rip up so many things, you grab foxes' tails, tie them together, light them on fire, and then run them through a wheat field. I want you to do powerful things. I want you, in your death, you're going to do so much strong stuff. In just one death, in just one action of your death, you're going to do so much things and show my power in so much and destroy my children's enemies in just your death than you've done in your whole life. And he did a lot of power in his life. We know of all the strength things that Samson did. That's a well-known thing. That's in Bible stories all over Sunday schools today, right? Everybody knows of Samson. Samson is the real live Superman. And that's the power that is given in him to do all these things. That's true power. And the very last stand, his very last stand, he's well known for. I was actually just doing this doing Bible time with Trinity before she goes to bed. And Samson's in there, and they talk about how he's strong. They just say strong, and you know, he was really strong. And but the only really action that they showed in the video that I'm watching with her is in his death. And when he prayed to God, once again, he has the Holy Spirit, so he can pray, right? He prays to God, puts his hands against the pillars of the building, and says, give me strength just this once. One more time. So it means, I've had it. I'm talking to God, please give me your power once again. And pushes him over and dies and kills more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And he killed tons in his life. And so, this is the power that we're talking about. This is the power that we have, people. This is what I'm trying to get to you. We have this power. I agree. I'm not going to Jacob and saying, okay, try to destroy the building right now with the power of God. Because God doesn't want us to do that stuff now. Okay? A lot of this power that the Holy Spirit gives is power that is okayed by the Father. And all of Samson's life, he did sin a lot, but all of his life in using his power was all okayed by the Father. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel 4, you don't really have to turn there. I will, though. In Daniel 4, it's just people too. These are unbelievers, okay? Now, you can just read the Bible and understand all of the people that saw the power of Samson. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit. All those people saw it so much they wanted to kill him for it, and they had to stop it somehow. They tried to stop it somehow. In Daniel 4:8, Nebuchadnezzar's talking, it says, but at last Daniel came before me, his name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him and said. And so we see that even Nebuchadnezzar, at this time an unbeliever, okay? Which I believe he's a believer now. But Nebuchadnezzar, an unbeliever, sees the power of God through the Holy Spirit in Daniel by predicting things of a dream that he didn't tell anyone. He came up to his people and said, tell me my dream and interpret it. And they said, O king, how can we interpret it if you don't even tell us the dream? And he says, do it. Daniel could do it. Why could Daniel do it? Because he had the Holy Spirit in him. Okay? So as you can see, the Holy Spirit is being moved and being used in so many different ways. One more thing, and then we'll get to my final idea of what I want to talk to. In Micah 3, Micah 3, 5 through 8. He's talking about coming Messiah, actually, but we'll read it. And this one shall be peace. When the Assyrians come into our land, and when, I'm sorry, that was five, four, I'm sorry, three, I was on five, my fault. Three, five through eight, okay. He's prophesying to the prophets of Israel who have come before him. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who make my people stray and chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare our war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. And so he's talking about the prophets that are going against a lot of God's prophets that are saying, God's prophets are saying, destruction's coming because you're not listening to me. And a lot of the false prophets are saying, don't listen to these people. We have peace. We're fine. We're not going to get destroyed. And so Micah is saying, thus says the Lord, you're going to get destroyed, and these prophets are going to go down with you. In 6, therefore you shall have night without visions. So in other words, the power that we're talking about that God gave you, O prophets, it's gonna be taken away from you, okay? Therefore, you have night without visions, you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abandoned. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, and there is no answer from God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgressions, and to Israel his son. His sin. And so we see that Micah knows, I have the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm in the right. Even though every false prophet, and there's more of them than there are of the good guys in Israel right now, is saying that Israel is in peace. Nothing's going to happen to us. Micah is saying, I have the Holy Spirit. You guys had the Holy Spirit. You abused it. So now the sun's going to go down on you, and you're going to feel so dark without the Holy Spirit, just like we would feel if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. And he says, I have it. I'm keeping it because I'm doing what God says. And this is another aspect where God takes it away. You have it when you do what I tell you to do, O Saul, O prophets, okay? When you do what I tell you to do and you walk in my ways, you'll have my power, you'll have my spirit. When you don't, I'm going to take it away from you because you don't deserve it. You do what I tell you in the Old Testament once again. You do what I tell you and you get it. Okay, so this is my end result. And this is where I'm mostly saying we can do this, okay? We have this power. Let's turn to Acts 8. And this is Simon, who I was telling you about. 8:9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously who practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all have heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So he's even kind of, trying to play off. He's trying to say that this is God I'm dealing with here. And he's dealing with demons. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. So people were listening to him because of his power. But when they believed Philip as he preached, and the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized, okay? Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. So it wasn't Paul, I'm sorry. It was Philip he was writing. And was amazed at seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? They didn't have it yet. This is still in Pentecost times where they were asking for it. Peter asked that this church, that these people in Samaria could have it. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I may lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not in the right in the sight of God. So as we see, this is a power that Simeon wants. Simon wants this power. He sees it. He offers Peter money for it. Okay? If this was a money thing, a lot of us wouldn't have it, because I don't have money. So I couldn't pay for this. Let's see where we talk about the casting out of demons, the power of casting out demons, okay? In Matthew 10, obviously we see Christ do this tons. Beginning of 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Okay? So right now, it doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, but we know the Holy Spirit is powerful. I've said that. We know the Holy Spirit gives power to do these things because, once again, Jesus couldn't have done these things through God, his God power. He had to do it through his man power and the power that is given through the Holy Spirit. So he sends he finally sends his disciples out and gives him the power to take out demons. In Mark 6:7. And he called the 12 to him himself and began to send them out two by two and give them power over clean spirits. Once again, the Holy Spirit is much more powerful than some demons. And so if you are given that power, you're more powerful than some demons too. I know I keep on jumping back and forth, but Matthew 12, 27 through 28. This is Christ talking. And if I cast out demons, he's kind of proving that what the Pharisees are saying, that you cast out demons by Satan, which is a blasphemy in itself. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's saying, okay, the power that I use to cast out demons, and I do it tons, I do it almost daily, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that we possess, okay? And then one more verse. Matthew 9. And I hope what I say after this really encourages you. It encouraged me a lot. Matthew 9, 14 through 29. And the disciples of John. No, I'm sorry. Jeez. Yeah, that's right. Disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples do not? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast. Now jump down to verse 18. While he was speaking with them, these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but came and lay your hands on her, and she will live. So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had flow of blood for 12 years came to him behind and touched the hem of the garment, for she had... I don't think this is the right verse. Okay. Jump down to 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said, yes. Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to the faith, let it be to you. And your eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows about this. I'm sorry, this is not right. This is not the right verse. Let me just tell you it. There's a passage, which is it's in Matthew, and it's not far from there, where Jesus is walking, okay, and he comes up to a crowd of people, okay, and the crowd of people are all around this demon-possessed kid, okay? It's 18. What is it? No. Thank you. And he has a demon-possessed kid. He comes up to the group, and the father of the child says, "My child has had a demon possessed, has been demon since birth, okay? And so this kid is going buck wild." And if you guys have ever seen a demon-possessed person, I have. There's something wrong with them. You can tell automatically. There's that person isn't just insane. There's really something wrong with that person. And you're the Holy Spirit, I think, is obviously telling you off the bat, they're possessed with a demon. So if you see this, you know what it looks like. And the parent says, "I came to your disciples, and your disciples tried to lay hands on them, and the demon wouldn't come out. So can you do it?" And Jesus says, somewhat in sarcasm, "Can I do it?" And he says, all is lawful for those who believe." Okay. So already he's talking about faith. You have to have faith. You have to have faith in God. He cast out the demon. When he cast out the demon, it falls. As soon as he gets to the child, the demon recognizes him, puts the kid on the ground, and starts convulsing. Okay, and he casts out the demon. Later on, the disciples talk to him and say, "Why couldn't we do that? You know, we did everything you taught us. Why couldn't we do this?" And he said, "This type of demon can only come out by prayer and fasting." Okay. Now, I've already told you in Jude 1:20 that we pray through the Holy Spirit, okay? So the power that is in prayer is used, and faith is used, and the power that God gives you to cast out demons. So the Holy Spirit is using a double-fold portion in this. Plus, you have faith in the Lord, right? Everything's by Christ. So we pray, and we have the power by the Holy Spirit that is given us by Christ, which is the faith. That's how this one demon was taken out, okay? I'm going to tell you guys something, and I'm going to close. And I'll tell you how I started this. About maybe like 3 weeks to a month ago, okay? We're sleeping. Me and my wife are sleeping in bed. Correction, she's sleeping in bed. I just came from playing video games upstairs at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I get upstairs, I'm tired, I lay my head down, and then Corden goes off and starts screaming and stuff. And Jill wakes up and says, "He's been doing this off and on for the past 20 minutes. And I said, "Okay, well, you know, I can get him if you want me to." And she's like, "I don't know." And you've talked to Jill, so you know how she says some things at times. She says, "I don't know, he sounds like he's possessed." And I said, "Okay, all right, well." And then I'm laying there, and then boom, the Holy Spirit hit me right then. I swear he did. He hit me right then and said, "Start studying about this thing right here." I told my dad that I'd have in the future, I'll start working on something. In case he leaves, I'd have something for him. The Holy Spirit said, "This is what you're going to talk about." And I told Jill, I said, "If he was possessed, we could take it out. Because we have faith, right? We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to take these out. And by faith, we could take it out. Okay? I'm not scared of no devil or demon in my house. Okay? So, and once again, a believer can't be possessed." So, Corden's not saved yet. and I'm working on Trent, but she's not saved yet either. So if in the time they get saved, one of my kids gets possessed by a demon, okay, I'm not afraid of it, and I could cast it out. I believe I could. Okay? Why I say that is because I know I have faith, and I talked to this brother, and he said it was okay. Our brother Matthew McKelvey, he cast out a demon. He did it in India, and they were coming to a village, and Matt will tell you more about this, but they came to a village, and the village that they were in was like, you know, way back in the sticks of the sticks. And so it's way back there. He says as soon as he got out of the car with the other people and came to this village, he felt oppression. He felt what Simon had, right? He felt demons just being there. He felt oppression. He felt just darkness. He had the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit allows him to feel that. He comes to it. They have their speaking time with Nicanor and Dad. And then people are coming up because, you know, they're white guys in India. So, oh, you know, I love you. And, you know, sign me your autograph and do things to me. And so so they came to Matt. And Matt sticks out like a sore thumb in church. So, of course, he would over in India. And he's a tall white guy that's above everyone else. And, you know, people are coming up to him and stuff. And Matt doesn't speak Telugu, but he's praying, okay? He's just praying for the people. This one woman comes up to him and doesn't do anything, just comes up to him, but hasn't been doing anything out of the ordinary. Comes up to her. He lays his hand on her and just starts praying, right? Praying is what? By the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's already using one of the things. And I truly believe that the demon that he cast out was the same demon that Jesus was talking about right here. He was praying to her, and he was like had one hand on her shoulder, and then she was holding a baby. And, you know, he had another hand right here, so it's like tense. When you're holding something, you don't want it to fall. And he could feel the tense. He's praying, and as soon as he stops praying, he feels the arm go limp, and the baby's like sliding out, okay? People get the baby, they protect her. Immediately, the person falls down and starts convulsing, just like when this kid with Jesus, okay? Matt prays. Matt has faith. Matt is the Holy Spirit. And so, with faith, prayer, and the Holy Spirit, he casts out the same demon that Jesus did. With the same instructions, too. And why I believe it's the same demon is because it did the exact same thing that happened in Jesus. Okay? The person just starts convulsing on the floor without warning. Okay, now the difference is that Matt says, I didn't know, this woman wasn't, you know, buck wild. You couldn't tell that there was a demon inside her beforehand. But she, boom, falls down and convulses and, you know, they take her away. Matt prays and eventually she calms down. He gets into the truck and he says to Dad and everyone else, you guys see what happened over there? And they said, yeah, and then Matt did a good impression of Dad, so I'll try it too. And Matt said to Dad, you know, what do you think that was? And Dad's like, yeah, it's probably demon possession woman. So why I mentioned that is because Matt is not a Benny Hinn. Matt is not Jesus. He's not an apostle, right? He's a disciple, but he's not one of those big name people. He's not the big name people that you would expect to do these things, right? My thing, and I'm going to close with this. my thing is, and I encourage you, is that someone who is as, you know, down to earth as Matt McKelvey, who we all love, he can do it. He can do the exact same thing that Jesus did with, I believe, his exact same demon. And the apostles couldn't do this beforehand. But he had faith, he prayed, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, which he had, he cast out this demon like it was nothing. And so my encouragement to you, at the end of this, is know the power that you have, okay? Know that the Spirit is in you and dwells inside you. And know that when the enemy comes, because the enemy, I agree, can be scary and will look scary. But when he comes, and when he's in your midst, he is faithful and as strong in the Lord and in the Holy Spirit that, that God has given you, like Matt was, and just blow it off. Because in the name of Jesus, we are children of God, and in the name of Jesus, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Grace and peace.